now and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. I want us to read a short text, really a summary statement from Matthew about the ministry of our Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 to 31. Matthew 15, 29. Jesus went on from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee. And he went up on the mountain and sat down there. And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put them at his feet, and he healed them. So that the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now, this brief picture presented here by Matthew about the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus is what we could call a defining moment in the life of Christ. Now, what do I mean by a defining moment? Well, a defining moment in a person's life is a snapshot in time that helps us understand who a person really is. A snapshot in time that helps us understand who a person really is. Now, when we look at the life of the Lord Jesus, there are many defining moments in the gospel accounts. We could think of Bethlehem and Calvary and the empty tomb and what those brief snapshots mean to us about the life and ministry of Christ. I think this passage that we've just read serves as another defining moment, particularly with regards to our Savior's relationship with people. What Matthew is showing us here is a very broad, general, sweeping statement, and yet when you stop to meditate on it, it is really quite remarkable. It's made up of two snapshots, actually, a before and an after picture. And it's instructive for us because not only is this an accurate record of Jesus' ministry, it's descriptive of his ongoing ministry to people even in our day. Well, let's consider the first snapshot. If you read earlier in the chapter, Jesus has been up north. It seems like he and his disciples had been taking a time of break, almost a vacation, you might say, from ministry. And now he's come back down into the area of Galilee. He's traveling around the lake, and he climbs up on a mountain to sit down. Now, that could be to rest. But more likely he was preparing for ministry because sitting down was the characteristic posture of Jewish teachers. Great multitudes found out that he was there and they came to him and crowded around them. In the following incident, we read of the feeding of the 4,000. That was only counting men, so very possibly 10,000 people had come and were gathered around our Lord Jesus. Now, what is prominent in the first picture is that the multitudes are bringing their sick to Jesus and laying them down before him. We read that they put them at Jesus' feet, or they laid them at Jesus' feet. It's a very strong verb that Matthew is using here. There's almost the idea of they threw them down, or they flung them down at Jesus' feet. Now, that's not meant to emphasize the callousness of the people who brought their sick friends and family members. Rather, the haste with which they brought them, almost with a sense, we've got to get them to Jesus first. And then Matthew gives us this list of the various conditions of these people brought to Jesus. Lame, crippled, blind, mute, people unable to speak, maimed for some reason, missing a limb, and many others, sort of a catch-all term. Now, the words that Matthew uses here to describe these people underscores their desperate need. In other words, they weren't just terribly sick. These were permanent conditions, handicaps, incurable problems. And apart from the help of the Lord Jesus, these people had no hope for the future. They were marked by these conditions. So that's the first snapshot. It's Jesus sitting on the top of the mountain, and all of these people, these very sick, disabled people, are brought before the Lord Jesus. He's surrounded by them. It's a remarkable throng. Spurgeon, commenting on that little picture, says, "What a gathering of miseries." Now, the second snapshot. It begins with the simple words about Jesus. He healed them. He touched the lame and made them strong, and they were able to walk and leap again. He opened the eyes of the blind so that they could see. He enabled the mute to speak, and how their mouths must have been filled with laughter and joy. Those who were maimed, he created new parts for them. Perhaps hands were given to some or feet to others. Great injuries to body parts were reversed so that they were whole again. And Matthew Henry, commenting on that picture, says, "Here is curing by wholesale. Not that it was cheap, but such incredible numbers healed by the Lord Jesus at this time." And so the picture that you're left with here is Jesus surrounded by a crowd of people who had just been healed. And as a result, all of the multitudes who had brought them marveled. Their mouths began to hang open when they saw what Jesus had done. And the whole group was praising God for the great things Jesus had accomplished. So here is a defining moment in the ministry of Jesus. You're not going to learn the gospel from these pictures, yet great truths about the gospel are powerfully illustrated in these pictures. What truths? Well, first of all, the power of the Lord Jesus to radically change people's lives. The power of the Lord Jesus to radically change people's lives. What a display of power in this little snapshot. These people, they were beyond the help even of modern medicine if it had been available. Their lives permanently marred by sickness, accident, or disease. Who could help them? Only the Lord Jesus by his almighty power. Now that's the same power that the Lord Jesus uses to help people with their sins. Remember Jesus' question to the religious leaders when he healed the paralyzed man. Which is easier, to say to a man, "Your sins are forgiven," or to a lame man, "Rise up, take up your bed, and walk"? They both require the power of God. And that's what we see in the snapshot here. The power of God used to radically change people's lives. But a second truth illustrated by these snapshots: the willingness of the Lord Jesus to radically change people's lives. There's nothing here in these pictures except a complete willingness on the part of the Lord Jesus to help these people. These people had obviously heard of other miracles he had performed, and so they came to Christ believing that he could do the same for their friends and loved ones. And they found in the Lord Jesus someone completely willing to exercise his power and change their lives. It was a great illustration of Jesus' own gracious invitation. "The one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." And of course, the gospel assures people, if you see that your life has been ruined by sin and you come to Jesus for help, he has the power to save you, and he is always willing to save you. Now that's defining truth. That tells us who a person really is. Now, just quickly, I want to show you two other pictures that provide us a mirror image of these snapshots that we've seen from the Lord Jesus up on top of the mountain. The first picture is of the Corinthian church. And I want to read to you what has become a familiar description of that congregation. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul says to them, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Now, Paul is making plain what is the makeup of the church of God in Corinth. No sinner who continues in his sin is going to inherit the kingdom of God. He's very emphatic about that. And he gives a sampling list of not just sins, but of sinners. People whose lives are marked and marred by these sins that will bar them forever from the presence of God. He lists people whose lives are marked by sexual sins and financial sins and sins of the mouth. These are not just some little problems, but they're great issues, sins that mark their lives. Now, it's no exaggeration to say that the condition of these people was much worse than the crowd who had gathered in Matthew 15. These were sinners whose lives were controlled by their sins, who were going to be kept out of heaven and would spend their eternity in hell for such sins. But then you've got the startling statement, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Here is a list that describes many of these people in the Corinthian church. But just like Matthew 15, there's a before and after snapshot. The before snapshot shows these people in their sins. The after shows these people gathered around the Lord Jesus, washed clean from their sins by his precious blood. They've been sanctified. They've been set apart to be holy instead of sinful. They've been justified, declared right with God on the basis of Christ's work and the working of his Spirit in their lives. Here's another picture that emphasizes what we've already seen from Matthew 15. The power of the Lord Jesus to radically change people's lives and his willingness to do that work. It doesn't matter how grievous your sin. You come to the Lord Jesus and you will find that he can change you. There's a picture that mirrors Matthew 15. What's another picture that mirrors Matthew 15? Well, it's the picture of us right here today, before Christ and after Christ. Before Christ, maybe some of us were marked by these sins that Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians. Or maybe we were self-righteous people, thinking that we were good enough to get into heaven on our own. Whatever we were people whose lives were marked by sin. And as a result, we were condemned and on our way to hell. We were not trusting in the Lord Jesus. But then look at us here today. We are people with the same description as the Corinthian church. We've been met by the Lord Jesus. We've experienced His power and His willing heart, and we have been changed so that it's a totally different picture from what we were before. We've been washed. We've been justified. We've been sanctified by the work of our Lord Jesus and the application of that work by the Spirit of God. What an incredible, encouraging reminder that Jesus is able and willing to radically change people. And that's why we're here today, not pursuing our own desires, but desiring that our lives might bring glory to God. And of course, it all rests on this work that is presented to us here this morning. What the Lord Jesus Christ has done in His finished work upon the cross. How we need to bless His holy name for such a work. Well, let's take our